This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
We've been hearing news headlines today about a so-called secret plan that would allow religious schools to reject gay students and stop them from enrolling. It's a part of the anti-discrimination laws being recommended in the federal government's Religious Freedom Review, which was presented to the government in May. Details of that review have just been leaked to the media. But this particular recommendation is painting Christian education with a very broad brush and one that not all Christians will like. So I thought we should get a response from Stephen O'Doherty. He's our open house presenter, a former MP and also a former CEO of Christian Schools Australia. Stephen, I know you're on holidays right now, so thanks for your time.
Hi, Claire. Good to speak to you.
Prime Minister Scott Morrison has come out saying that he doesn't intend to give schools any new powers to reject kids based on sexual orientation, but that it's part of existing law in some states. Can you unpack that a little bit for us?
Well, the Prime Minister is quite right. What is reported today as the recommendation of the Rudder Committee in relation to students at Christian schools is just the status quo. There is no change, and to characterise it as some secret plan to give schools the power to expel gay students doesn't make a great deal of sense. Whoever is behind that particular line is putting a rather jaundiced view on the status quo. Christian schools have, in fact, in their submission to the Ruddick Inquiry, said that they want to be able to provide appropriate care and support, including pastoral support, for all of the students within their school environment. Now, if a student acts defiantly against a Christian ethos for whatever reason, there does come a time where the school can't appropriately support that child. And in those circumstances, yes, sometimes schools either encourage or indeed require a student to leave the school. But in all of the cases that I've looked at, it's not about their sexuality. Mm-hmm. It's about the requirement that all of the members of a school community act in ways and are supportive of the ethos of the school. In the case of Christian schools, that would be the Christian ethos.
What's your perception of the way that this report has been leaked to the media? Because the Religious Freedom Review is a very broad thing, and it's designed to give faith communities to sustain their freedom of belief and choice and speech. So is the cause of young people being used as a bit of a red herring in a bigger debate?
Look, my guess is that somebody who wants to run this particular agenda has managed to get hold of some or all of the report and has leaked those parts of it that support their agenda. This is an ongoing debate. The question about the sexuality of students within faith-based schools has been a matter of debate for a long time, and it will be for a long time to come. The Ruddick Inquiry itself is very important for Australia's future, as we've spoken about many times. It's about whether religious institutions, whether they be schools or any other type of religious institution, can actually act in a way that is consistent with their teachings, their beliefs, their doctrines, and indeed their ethos. Now, that's a lot broader than students in schools. This goes to a whole range of requirements, including the ability of Christian organisations to hire staff who are Christians when they're engaged in Christian ministry activities. In that respect, political parties have currently more protection than most religious organisations because they can say, look, if you're not a liberal, we won't employ you in a liberal political office. Likewise, if you're not a member of the Labor Party, we won't employ you in a Labor political office. They have that exemption, which doesn't exist in some cases for, well, and certainly not clear in all cases around Australia for schools, churches and other religious bodies. You know, Claire, the big question that the Ruddick Committee has looked at and what I think the Cabinet is struggling with is this. Do we need an overarching commissioner for religious freedom or a religious freedom commission or a charter of religious freedom or something along those lines at a federal level that would bring a blanket policy for all of Australia? The question about whether or not we have religious freedom is hardly contestable in this country, shouldn't be anyway. It's how we achieve that that I think the Cabinet is grappling with and probably why the report hasn't been released yet.
You mentioned a bit earlier that Christian schools have submitted to this Religious Freedom Review saying they want to support all their students and provide a safe environment for them. And we know that teenagers in particular, in a stage of their lives when they're only just figuring out their beliefs and values and things like sexuality, and we know that the mental health of students is better when they have a safe environment to figure those things out. Now, this recommendation talks about putting the mental health of kids first, but some people will hear these headlines and think that it just sounds really un-Christian and un-Jesus-like to want to reject people from a community who don't conform. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, in my experience, that's not the way that schools operate. Mm-hmm. The schools that I know take tremendous efforts in supporting all students, including those who identify as same-sex attracted. Now, as you've mentioned, teenage years are a time of great change and flux, and when a student is discovering their sexuality, they do need to be in a safe and supportive environment, and schools provide those environments. That's the heartbeat of those schools. The fact that this report is being discussed in the way in which it is in many ways some sort of carryover from the same-sex marriage debate, in which some people heard Christians as being judgmental about sexuality. That's very unfortunate because, in my experience, Christians are very openly supportive of people despite their sexuality. It was always just a question for the Christian community of whether or not that should be called marriage, whether it should be codified in the law as marriage.
And you worked in leadership with many Christian schools around the nation. I guess that there's a whole range of how conservative some of those schools might be in wanting a more conformed environment with their students. Is that right?
I don't think that's right at all.
Okay.
I just don't think that's a fair characterisation of the way Christian schools operate, or, mm-hmm. or other religious schools for that matter. Let's go back to what the Christian schools are actually saying. They're not asking for the right to expel kids on the basis of their sexuality. And I seriously doubt, I would be highly surprised if the Ruddick Report has recommended anything along those lines. It's far more likely that the Ruddick Report has said, look, there is some lack of clarity about how schools are able to teach about issues to do with religious values and doctrines and teachings. Take, for instance, the case of Archbishop Porteous in Tasmania. A complaint was made to that state's Anti-Discrimination Commission about a pamphlet that he issued, which simply talked about the Catholic Church's teachings on marriage. Now, if you can't talk about a church's teachings on a moral issue like marriage or sexuality or whatever it might be, and by the way, you know, sex outside of marriage, adultery, a whole range of issues fall into that same basket. If a church can't talk about its values at all, then we don't have religious freedom. We don't have the right to hold, uphold, teach, and act in conformance with our religious views. That's not the sort of Australia that people want. Now, I'm quite sure that the Ruddick Committee will have addressed that and said we need to make sure that all the states and territories are on the same page. And then the debate is whether or not you need an overarching federal freedoms commissioner or something along those lines who can oversee that and ensure that those freedoms are codified and that there are some protections for religious teaching. I feel quite sure that the Ruddick Committee has not really addressed the issue of being allowed to expel gay students, something that schools are not even asking for.
Well, Stephen O'Doherty, thank you very much for your time. I'll let you get back to your holiday.
Thank you, Claire.
That's Stephen O'Doherty, open house presenter and a former CEO of Christian Schools Australia. If you believe the mainstream media, there's plans in the making to let Christian schools expel students for identifying as gay. But is it really true? With me now to talk about this is Mark Spencer. He's the National Policy Officer for Christian Schools Australia. Mark, welcome.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Firstly, Mark, would you say this leaked report about the Religious Freedom Review, is it accurate or is it misleading, these headlines we've been seeing today?
Well, in the intro there, you talked about people reading mainstream media, and that's a problem. They should be listening to Hope 103.2 for the news. That would be a far more profitable thing to do.
Thanks
Look
for that.
The characterisation of this as a zero-sum game, winners, losers, that is the way, unfortunately, the media tends to portray a lot of these really complex issues. What we're dealing with here is, in relation to students, is young people who are, you know, often struggling to work out who they are, what their place is in the world, how they fit in society, what they believe, and what their sexual identity is. And just to sum this up in a cheap headline that suggests that, you know, they're going to be expelled or that staff are going to be sacked, that's really not accurate. It doesn't reflect the nature of Christian schools and the care we have for all our students.
Christian Schools Australia has made submissions to this religious freedom review. Do Christian schools want to discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation, gender identity or relationship status?
What we do want to do is, in relation to choice of staff, we want to be able to ensure that, because teaching staff, other staff in our schools are vital to the educative process we undertake. I've talked on your radio station before about the sort of holistic nature of Christian education. It takes a village to raise a child, and that's a sort of metaphor for who we are and what we do. So we need to ensure that we have staff who share the values of a school, share the beliefs of a school, can model those, can live that out in their lives and reflect that in what they teach to the students. When it comes to others in the school community, all we're wanting is the ability, in the very rare cases that it becomes an issue, the ability to actually ensure we can protect the essential fabric of the school, the values, the ethos, the culture of the school. You know, we can have people within our school communities where they may not necessarily believe all we believe, or may not be adherents of the Christian faith in many cases. But the ability to have sensible, nuanced, respectful conversations, that's fine. If it came to a situation where someone was seeking to undermine the very fabric of who we are as a Christian school, in those very rare cases, yes, we want the ability to be able to say to those students, their families, this may not be the school for you. It may not be the school where the school can support what you believe, what you're teaching your children at home.
So it goes much deeper than just a simplistic, this student doesn't live the way we want them to live type of scenario. Have religious schools, to your knowledge, or Christian schools in your care, ever expelled students just because they have identified as an LGBTI person?
Just because, no. We've had many of our schools I know of who've had students who may, for a time or for a longer period, have been same-sex attracted, and they've pastorally cared for them, supported them, taught them what the Bible teaches about morality and sexuality and sexual conduct, but still loved and cared for them. You know, we have had students who have been expelled from schools for different reasons, behavioural conduct reasons, and not just for that reason.
Mark, what kind of rights do Christian schools need that you hope that a national religious freedom policy would protect?
Well, the slightly disturbing aspect of what's been reported in the media today is that we still seem to be talking about an exemptions-based approach. At the moment, the way religious freedoms are protected is by and large by exemptions in anti-discrimination law, equal opportunity law at a state and federal level. It says discrimination is bad, and then introduces a whole lot of exemptions to that broad prohibition to actually make the law workable. The way that that's crafted, it almost seems to say, we're only grudgingly giving you these exemptions. What we called for in our submission was a redefinition of discrimination itself to reflect international law and reflect the balancing that needs to happen at that level between different rights, rather than an exemptions-based approach, which is really unhelpful.
Okay, Mark, thank you very much for your time. That's Mark Spencer. He's the National Policy Officer for Christian Schools Australia.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.